Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1864, with the release date of May the 3rd, 2013, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Region 1 of the International Amateur Radio Union meets in Vienna. A coalition of groups announced it's attempting to arrange a de-expedition to North Korea. The exemption for ham radio remains as part of Hawaii's new distracted driving law. Lots more news on the upcoming Dayton Hamvention and NASA to launch a mission to study equatorial electric storm propagation. Find out details on Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1864, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Vero Beach, Florida, here is Jim Davis, W2JKD.
IARU Region 1 held its interim meeting in Vienna, Austria, the weekend of April the 20th through the 21st. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH of the RSGB News, reports.
HF topics included preparations for the WRC-15, which includes the possibility of a worldwide amateur allocation at 5 MHz. Other proposals included trying to align some of the HF band plans between regions and the de-expedition code of conduct. A number of other papers covered contest matters, support for newcomers via JOTA, operation of unmanned stations, and discussion on a possible band plan for the new 472 to 479 kHz amateur allocation. For VHF and microwaves, there were a total of 34 papers covered technical operating, band planning, and contest matters. Areas of focus were improvements to IARU contests and accommodating digital voice, beacon, and TV developments. Band plans at 4 meters, 2 meters, and 70 sems came under particular scrutiny. Pressure on spectrum, particularly at 2.3 gigs, was also discussed. Several topics are expected to be further developed in time for the next Region 1 conference in the autumn of 2014. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, in Nottingham, in the United Kingdom.
The minutes and recommendations of the interim meeting will be published shortly, once approved by the Region 1 Executive Committee. A well-known group of DXers says that they are working on getting permission to operate from North Korea, which is the most wanted DXCC entity in the world. Amateur Radio Newsline's Cheryl Lasik, K9BIK, reports.
The Intrepid DX Group, in partnership with the Worldwide DX Group, says that for the past 4 years that they have been working with professionals in the business and tourism industries who are actively doing business in North Korea. In a widely circulated press statement, the organizations note that they have prepared a comprehensive, multifaceted proposal which has been delivered to the North Korean officials via their emissary located in China. Also, that several members of the combined group's leadership and advisory team have made multiple visits to the region and are advising the overall groups accordingly. The DXers say that they are using the same techniques that were successful in opening up Kurdistan, the South Sudan, and Yemen to de-expedition activity. They add that they're leveraging their ideas and contacts towards the goal of a major de-expedition over a 4-week period from within the North Korea border. As we go to air, no date for such an operation to take place has even been speculated. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK, in Zion, Illinois.
We'll have more DX-related news later on in this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. House Bill number 980, dealing with mobile cellular telephone laws for the state of Hawaii that contain an exemption for mobile ham radio operation, has been transmitted to the governor and is awaiting his signature. Like many other states, the new law in Hawaii states that no person shall operate a motor vehicle while using a mobile electronic device. However, the use of a mobile electronic device for the sole purpose of making a 911 emergency communications is permitted. The Hawaii law provides that no person under 18 years of age can operate a motor vehicle while utilizing a hands-free mobile electronic device, except once again for the sole purpose of making a 911 emergency call. According to Ron Hashiro, AH6RH, in addition to radio amateurs, also exempted from the law will be emergency responders using a mobile electronic device while in the performance of their official duties, and those operating under FCC Part 90 land mobile radio rules. Not exempted are those using the Family Radio Service, users of the General Mobile Radio Service, Citizens Band Radio Operators, Marine Radio, the Aviation Band, text messaging, and of course those making non-emergency calls using handheld cellular telephones. Penalties include a fine of not less than $100 and not more than $200 for a first violation. A second violation within that occurs within 1 year brings with it a fine of not less than $200 and not more than $300. For a violation that occurs within 2 years of two prior violations, and for the fourth and each subsequent violation, regardless of when they were committed, a fine of not less than $300 and not more than $500 can be assessed. If signed by the governor, the new Hawaii Distracted Driving Law will take effect on July the 1st. The full text is on the web at tinyurl.com/Hawaii-cell-final. Boston officials did use cellular text messages known as wireless emergency alerts in the aftermath of the Marathon bombings. That's according to Rick Wimberly of alerting consultancy Galien Solutions. The former broadcaster and current consultant to FEMA told Radio World that the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, or MEMA, has the ability and authority to issue imminent threat wireless emergency alert messages and did so on April the 19th. Specifically, MEMA issued a shelter-in-place order by tweeting out a message to that effect. According to Wimberly, wireless emergency alerts complemented EAS because the text messages remind users to tune in to their local broadcast stations for more detailed information. Now, whether or not the EAS system itself was placed into formal use in the Marathon bombing aftermath is still open to debate. FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai says that if the FCC proceeds to count some joint sales agreements towards local TV ownership caps, it would be an error. This is because Pai believes that the commission must treat broadband as a complement, not a replacement for broadcast use of the spectrum. His remarks came in a recent speech to the Media Institute. In it, Pai wants the FCC to loosen the local ownership rules and found it amazing that the proposal currently on the table would tighten them by adding the joint sales agreements and possibly shared service agreements. Pai pointed to a joint sales agreement between two stations in his home state of Kansas. There, a Univision affiliate and an Entravision affiliate were able to create the only Spanish-language newscast in the state. Another he cited was in Missouri between the broadcasters Nexstar and Mission that allowed for expanded news coverage. A joint sales agreement, sometimes known as a limited sales agreement, is an agreement in which one company agrees to operate a radio or TV station owned by another license holder. In essence, it's sort of a lease or time-buy arrangement. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KC8 LMI repeater serving Aurelius, Michigan. An Internet Radio Summit is coming to Europe next month. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeff Clark, K8JAC, has the details.
Internet radio executives from across Europe will meet in Brussels on Thursday, May 23rd for the second annual RAIN Summit Europe. This is according to Kurt Hansen, who is the publisher of the RAIN Radio and Internet Newsletter. RAIN Summit Europe will take place at the Brussels Hotel Bloom. The conference will be a day-long event, including panels and presentations, speakers, and networking opportunities for European executives to consider the future of radio in the digital world. RAIN Summit conferences are educational and networking events for the internet radio and online audio industry. For the past decade, these summits have been presented several times each year in North America and feature top speakers and panelists from around the world. I'm Jeff Clark, K8JAC.
For those of you who may be wondering, these conferences are not in any way connected with Hap Holly, KC9RP's weekly RAIN report based in Chicago. Turning to regulatory enforcement, word that the commission has upheld a decision by the Enforcement Bureau and has ruled that Mount Rushmore Broadcasting owes $17,000 for violations of the agency's EAS and public file rules. Earlier, the Bureau denied the company's 2011 petition to reconsider the fine levied for failing to ensure the operational readiness of the station's EAS gear, also failing to maintain a complete public inspection file for stations, and failing to operate the studio-to-transmitter link from its licensed location. Now, in its final judgment in this matter, the full commission says that Mount Rushmore Broadcasting did not dispute the facts or that the violations took place. Rather, that the broadcaster only had substantially reiterated all of the arguments previously considered and rejected. The FCC also noted that Mount Rushmore Broadcasting did not demonstrate that the Enforcement Bureau made an error in its findings, nor did it provide financial documentation to support its repeated request that the fine be reduced or eliminated. The full commission upheld the Enforcement Bureau's original order and said payment is due within 15 days. In the meantime, the government filed a complaint in federal district court against Mount Rushmore Broadcasting to recover the money. That case will be dismissed if the licensee makes the payment, according to the agency. Mount Rushmore is broadcasting licensee of KRAL-AM, KIQZ-FM, and Studio to Transmitter Lick WHB-734 in Rawlins, Wyoming. One of the nation's best-known manufacturers of broadcast and two-way antenna systems, transmission lines, and associated products is closing its doors forever. Amateur Radio Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, reports.
SPX Communications Technologies, formerly Dielectric Communications, will cease its broadcast television, radio, and wireless antenna manufacturing operations effective June 29th. Dielectric, as it is still better known, had already begun letting customers know that it plans to get out of the antenna business. The company was begun in 1942 as Dielectric Products Corporation, which specialized in developing transmission lines for wartime radar system use. The company has been located in Raymond, Maine since 1954. It installed its first digital TV broadcast antenna in 1994 and provided more than 1,200 broadcasters with digital television transmission solutions. SPX acquired Dielectric in 2001. According to the CGC Communicator, over the years, Dielectric produced some of the finest broadcast antennas made in the United States, and its closure represents a significant blow to U.S. manufacturing capabilities. I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
More on the shuttering of this historic company is on the web at tinyurl.com/dielectric-closes. Eaton Company has a new product that may well be of interest to hams involved in emergency response operations or those who live in regions where getting accurate emergency alerts are a necessity. Called the Zone Guard, it's a portable battery-operated AM/FM radio that receives NOAA weather and specific area message encoding, or SAME, local emergency messages. The Zone Guard radio will also flash an internal 3-level high-visibility color alert light bar and emit warning sounds when local warning messages are activated. On top of that, it's also programmable, so multiple geographic areas can be programmed into it for emergency message reception. Best of all, the price for this little gem is under $40 on the street and available where most consumer electronics are sold. And lest we forget, the radio also carries a Red Cross identification brand on it, and a portion of the sales profits goes to that organization. The Spring 2013 edition of the 5 MHz newsletter is now available for free download. This edition features news about 5 MHz amateur band allocations, the latest update of the World Amateur 5 MHz Allocations Chart, plus stories on 5 MHz web software-defined radios, and much more. You can download your copy now at tinyurl.com/DXLPGYJ. The 18th annual 4 Days in May, the QRP and a homebrew mini convention held concurrently with the Dayton Hamvention beginning on Thursday, May the 16th. The venue is once again in the Holiday Inn located in Fairborn, Ohio, which is just about 20 minutes to the east of Hera Arena. Guest speakers this year feature Roy Llewellyn, W7EL, Rick Campbell, KK7B, and George Dobbs, G3RJV, and others. Thursday evening will include a presentation from Tentech, at which there will be a new product announcement. Events on Thursday and Friday evenings are free of charge. More information, along with tickets for the seminars, the Build-A-Thon, and Grand Banquet, can be bought online at www.qrparci.org/FDIM. Bill Moore, NC1L, says that the ARRL award staff will present at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention to check applications for all ARRL awards. These include DXCC, WAS, VUCC, WAC, and the Extra Class Certificate. A detailed PDF file is available to help guide you through the card checking process so that everything proceeds smoothly at tinyurl.com/ARRL-awards-Dayton-2013. If, after reviewing the PDF file and you have questions, send an email to Bill Moore, NC1L, at bmoore@ARRL.org. A technician-level ham radio class will be held at the Dayton Hamvention on Saturday, May the 18th. The session runs from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. and will be held at the Hera Arena Hamvention venue. Immediately following the conclusion of the class, a team of volunteer examiners will be on hand to administer the technician class exam. You must pre-register for the class, and yes, there is homework. Info on what's in the class and how to enroll can be found at www.hamclass.net/hamvclass.htm. Interested students should not delay, as there is limited room, and once the class fills, enrollment will be closed. The class will again be sponsored by Mitch Stearns, W1SJ. If you have any questions, please contact him at w1sj@arrl.net. Stern tells Amateur Radio Newsline that this will be his fourth year of providing these classes at the Dayton Hamvention, but that he's actually been teaching 1 to 2 day classes for 21 years. Barry Goes, W9FIZ, who had previously announced a number of free services at Hamvention 2013, has been forced to cancel a few of them. This after he was advised by a fellow ham who's an attorney that since he's not licensed, bonded, or insured to test electronic equipment, that he would be exposing himself to considerable liability. Goes says that based on that, he'll not be able to offer any service that involves testing electronic devices of any kind in any way, shape, or form. However, W9FIZ still plans to attend, and both his free advertisement board and his 2-meter paging service will still be available. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateurs from the United States of America. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. The changing of the guard in our world of amateur radio continues with the sad news of the passing of our longtime friend and colleague, Joseph J. Joe Schrader, Jr., W9JUV, Tuesday, April the 30th. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is here with more on the life of this truly dedicated ham radio operator.
When he passed away at age 83, Joe Schrader, W9JUV, was perhaps best known as the founding editor of the weekly HR Report newsletter published in the 1970s by Ham Radio Magazine. This was the first independent amateur radio news source other than the ARRL's W1AW broadcasts and its director's letters. In addition to HR Report, Joe is also a member of the Ham Radio Magazine editorial staff from its inception and continued with it for many years. He also served as a reporter for this news service during our formative years as the Westlink Radio News. Joe was first licensed as W9JUV back in 1946. An accomplished DXer, he was active on all bands from 160 meters through 432 megahertz. His ham radio achievements included being on the DXCC honor roll since the 1970s, achieving 6-meter DXCC, worked all continents, and worked all states. W9JUV was a life member of the ARRL, AMSAT, and Quarter Century Wireless Association. Over the years, he held various positions with the ARRL, with AMSAT, and with the Old Old Timers Club. He was also a member of the PJ2T Contesting Group, the Northern Illinois DX Association, and the Radio Club of America. Professionally, W9JUV was a former Motorola engineer and managing editor of Electronic Instrument Digest magazine. He was the founder of the Chicago area-based Consultech consulting firm, as well as being an authority on firearms history and gun collecting. In the latter, he was the owner of Handgun Press Publishing and wrote or edited many books and articles in that field. A private pilot since 1956, he was also an active member of the Civil Air Patrol. Unless I forget to mention, Joe is a very close friend of this reporter for the better part of 40 years and will never be forgotten. There are some very special people who touch one's life. And for me, Joe Schrader, W9JOV, truly ranks at the very top. I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Los Angeles.
Joe Schrader, W9JUV, is survived by his wife of 55 years, Janet, N9LGI, his son Brad, daughter Elizabeth Anderlew, and two grandchildren. Speaking for the family, Joe's daughter Elizabeth says that a memorial service will be held for him at some point in the near future. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, 651 West Washington Boulevard, Suite 400, Chicago, Illinois, 60661, or Cal's Angels, 721 Ashton Lane South, Elgin, Illinois, 60177. Members of the First Class CW Operators Club will take to the air in May, with many using special calls. This to celebrate the 75th anniversary of that organization. Nearly 50 special FOC suffix calls and 6 calls with unique prefixes will be on the bands throughout the month. The special call GB75FOC will be activated by a group of English members each day in May, and special versions of the club call G4FOC will be used in non-English UK countries. In addition, the call sign MORSE, that's actually M0RSE, will be on the air as well. An FOC75 award will be available at the 3 levels of bronze, silver, and gold. Full information about the award, as well as QSL routing to the stations involved in this celebration, simply take your web browser to www.g4foc.org. Follow the link to the FOC 75th anniversary. Now here's a rather interesting one. A special event station signing LZ2013KM will be activated by members of the Bulgarian Federation of Radio Amateurs between May 1st and the 31st. The operation is to celebrate a national holiday known as St. Cyril and Methodius Day. Operation will be on all high-frequency bands, with QSLs going only via the LZ Bureau. And who were St. Cyril and Methodius, you ask? Well, they were like the creators of the Cyrillic alphabet, and we thought you might like to know. In DX, JA9LSZ is reported as being currently active from Nepal as 9N7SZ. His operations on the high-frequency bands only. If you work him, please QSL to JA9LSZ. According to SQ8X, posting on the FT5XM webpage, the group hopes to set sail for Amsterdam Island on January the 15th, 2014, and arrive on the 24th. Landing operations will begin as soon as the sea conditions and weather allow. Once the team is ashore, they'll have 18 days to set up, conduct the de-expedition, and tear down for departure. You can follow developments at www.amsterdamdx.org. JJADEN was to be active from Puka Puka Atoll in French Polynesia from April the 30th through May the 7th. This will be followed by an operation from Revave Island in the Austral Island Group as KH0PR/FO from May the 8th to the 15th. He'll be active on high-frequency bands using CW, RIDI, and PSK. You can QSL via JJADEN. Members of the Dutch Society of Radio Amateurs will be active as 9H25 from Quara between May the 20th and June the 4th. Operation will be on 80 through 6 meters using CW and single sideband, QSL via PI4KGL. Lastly, a de-expedition made up of members of the Oceania DX group will activate Norfolk Island as VK9NT between May the 3rd and the 13th. They plan to have 4 stations covering 80 through 10 meters, operating CW, sideband, and RIDI. An online QSL request service will be available for bureau and direct cards on ClubLog, which is the preferred method. If for some reason you can't use ClubLog or Logbook of the World, paper QSLs can go direct to VK2CA. And finally this week, a NASA-funded sounding rocket mission will launch from the atoll in the Pacific in the next couple of weeks to help scientists better understand and predict the electrical storms in the Earth's upper atmosphere. These severe weather outbursts can interfere with satellite communications, the global positioning system, and other satellite-based communications, including some used by radio amateurs. The mission is called EVEX, which stands for Equatorial Vortex Equipment. It'll consist of two launch rockets from the Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands for a 12-minute information-gathering journey through the equatorial ionosphere above the South Pacific. The twin spacecraft will measure events in two separate regions of the ionosphere to see how they work together to drive the atmosphere from placid and smooth to violently disturbed. Such information could ultimately lead to the ability to more accurately forecast this important aspect of space-related weather. The launch window for the EVEX runs through May the 10th. More on this propagation study is online now at tinyurl.com/nasa-storm-rocket. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CGC Communicator, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn, DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. A reminder that the nominating period for the 2013 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. Full details and a nominating form are on our website at www.arnewsline.org/YHOTY. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD, on Florida's Sunshine Coast, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2013. All rights are reserved.